There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Who is that? Who is he speaking of? Jews and Gentiles. How many here are Jews? How many here are Gentiles? That's all of us. That's all there is. There's those two groups. So what's written here is everybody. There is none. No, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what? Law of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we actually establish the law. Let us pray. Father God, help us to understand this word, that it might not be letter, but that it might be spirit and life. Your word is alive, and it's alive to give life. And we pray that tonight never again will we be confused over the law. Never again will we misunderstand the law. There is such a need, dear God, for Christians to understand the nature of the law, whether it's past or whether it still has a purpose. What is that purpose? How are we to understand it? Dear God, open our eyes, our ears, our understanding. Give us wisdom, insight, that we may once for all be free to follow in the way of the Lord, to follow in a way that is right and that is good, that is true, that is holy, that is pure, that is undefiled, that is everlasting, that is royal. Dear God, we thank you that you will teach us tonight in a way that we won't forget, that we might be reminded constantly that everything is by grace. Everything is by the mercy of God. Everything is to magnify and lift up and exalt our beloved Jesus. In your blessed, holy, and wondrous name, and all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? He's good. Well, no matter what we do, we always come back to the scripture, and these scriptures will always confuse people unless we get them down once for all. Now, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount don't think that I have come to do away with the law. That means the law is eternal. So, if the law is eternal, we're going to have to deal with it. Yet, it seems from other scriptures that the law is finished. It's over with. It's done. It's served its purpose. It's no longer. It's called a school teacher once. It said when the imperfect is there and there's nothing perfect, then it'll remain. But when the perfect comes along, then the imperfect goes away. But apparently the law is perfect. In the Old Testament, we've heard that the law is perfect and that it's eternal. So how are we to understand the law? Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to teach, and this is going to be a teaching, and then I'm going to teach it, and then I'm going to tell you what I taught you. Now, here it is. Number one, the law does four or five things. Doesn't matter how you put it. But the first thing that the law does is declare. The law declares. Now, what it declares is that God demands righteousness, perfection. The law declares the will of God. And what it declares is the demand that we be perfect. So that's the first, or you could say the first and second, depending on you want four or five points. The second thing, or the third thing, is that the law denounces. It denounces the flesh, the old man, sin, the sinful nature. And the third thing, you want to draw a line here, because the wages of sin is death. So that would be the end of everything right there. Except that the law has more purposes than just those two or three. The law, which is preached in most churches week after week, Sunday after Sunday, even though they call themselves New Testament churches, it's basically this that is declared in most church services. And the people go away either rebellious. There's only two possibilities here. You either go away rebellious and say, you know, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it, or something like that. Or you go away thinking, I've done it, you know. And I am glad that I'm not as poor as this other brother and sister, you know. I'm glad that I'm not a sinner like I used to be. I'm glad I've been saved and now I'm a good person. I'm glad I'm a good Christian, you know. And that's the only two ways to go away, either as a rebel or as a Pharisee. But neither of these is New Testament. In the Old Testament, that was quite possible. You either would say, phooey, I quit. God's asking too much. Or you would say, I've done it. And you could put yourself anywhere along the line of, I can do it, and I have done it, all the way down to, I can't do it, or I won't do it. Even if I could, I will not. I will not do it. I don't want to do it. Or you might be somewhere along the way. I'm pretty good, you know. I'll do my best, you know, something like that. Now, those are the only two possibilities when this is all you know of the law. And this, I say, is what most churches major on. Not they don't mean to. But whenever you read the Bible in a straightforward manner and you don't notice the distinctions that it makes, you will end up in these categories. And you'll completely miss the good news. You'll completely miss it. And many people say, hear the good news of God. Then they just tell you all about this. And then they'll tell you it's all by faith in Jesus, and then they'll go back and underline it with this. You know, now that you've been saved by faith, now let's keep the law. Which is right, but is wrong. You have to understand how it is that the law works. Because if you misunderstand, you'll never experience the power of God in all its fullness. All right, the next thing the law does is it drives us to Jesus. It drives us to Jesus. And this is the most important thing that it does, is that it drives us to Jesus. So it declares, it denounces, and it drives. And the last thing that it does is it describes my new life in Jesus. Now that, is either the four or five purposes of the law. I suppose you could make more, but it's all going to come in those kind of categories. So it declares, it denounces, it drives, and it describes. That was my very next point. Take it right. Okay.
No, just because I can't. Right. Sometimes you're talking about Mosaic law. Sometimes you meant everything other than faith.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. The law, very simply, this is the simplest definition, is what I must do. What I must do. And since it's summed up in the first and second tables of the law, the Mosaic law, it's love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. As we heard this morning. So that is the law. That summarizes the law. Now everything can fit into that, no matter how many other laws there are. They'll all fit into these two. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. So that summarizes the law. Now obviously, sin, then, is the transgression of the law. Sin is missing the mark. We'll draw a target here, and you say, in the center, that's keeping the law. Then everything that's over here, over here, over here, you know. For example, if you keep the law outwardly, outward behavior, but you don't have the right inner attitude, you haven't kept the law. So you must have the outward behavior plus the inner attitude. So, everything that you do must have both of those components to it if you want to keep the law, because it says keep the law with all your heart. So it's not enough just to have outward behavior or civil behavior. You must also have, it must be with a full heart. Like, whatever you do, you have to do with all your heart. That's the law. So you have to be perfect in your outward behavior. That means on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every day, never making one mistake. Because to make the smallest mistake is to blow the whole thing. If you just commit one sin, it's just the same as though you committed all the sins. There is absolutely no mercy in the law. You see that? This is so important. Because Christians come back under the law so easily. Because they think now that they're saved, now they can keep it. I think, well, you know, I owe it to God now. He's done something for me. I guess I better do something for Him. You know, and besides, He's helping me. You know, he'll help me along. As I try to keep it, he'll probably boost me up a little bit. That's technically what we call synergism, which means God working with me. But God doesn't work with you as though you could do anything. I mean, he either does it all or nothing is done. God has to do everything. If you understand, number one, that you must be perfect, then you won't talk like with me. You won't say, now God help me in this, as though God could help you, as though you could add something. And you know, you might give 10% and he'd give 90. Or you might give 90 and he'd add 10. No, you can't do even one. Because it says be perfect. So he can't help you. There's no way you can do a part. Even your 10%, you can't do that perfectly. Or 1%, or half of 1%. You can't do any part perfectly. The law is over with. The law will never do. And God knew that from the beginning. He never planned it to do anything. The only thing he was trying to do with this law is, you know, as I've said before, is keep people from stealing hubcaps and stuff. That's all. He just wanted civilization to stay together so he could get his thing. He was not interested in the law as such. That's, you might say, the left hand of God. Well, God's always going to make the wicked obey law. The wicked know about this law, whether they do it or not, they know about it. All the nations of the world know about law. The biggest thieves in the world, the mafia, has a law. Boy, they've got a rigid law. Anybody you think of, they've got a law. In prison, they've got laws. I mean, the prisoners got laws. Everybody got laws. Laws, 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 laws. So law is just what it's all about. The whole world is full of laws. There's only one guy that has free, and that's God. God said the age of law is over with. Law won't do it. I tell you, it was great when we were perfect. When Adam, here's Adam, walking in the garden. He's perfect. Can you see him? Oh, look at that. Perfect. And God comes along and says, here's the law, Ten Commandments here. Be perfect. It's easy. No problem. When you're perfect, it's easy to be perfect. You see? That's the only guy that can obey the law. Jesus was that guy. Adam blew it, you see? Adam blew it. He was perfect, but then he fell. Boom. Now, ever since that time, fallen man has never been able to again be perfect. So, the only thing he can do is hear the word of the Lord. There it is. The law declares, what does God want? Here it is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind and, you know, all thy everything. Well, that's the first law. And the second one is like unto it. And thy neighbor just as you love yourself. You know. Now, that law God knew would never be lived by anybody. He knew that the only one who could ever do that is someone that was heaven sent. He knew that the first Adam and all his kids were forever locked in disobedience, rebellion, vanity, purposelessness, and so on. He knew that everything they would do would never again do anything but lead to hell and death. That's it. He knew that. The wages of sin, the smallest sin, is death. That's it. So now I want you forever to realize that as a Christian, you are no longer under the law. This is very hard to get because everything in us tries to still keep the law. However, now this is not for questions. You can ask afterward. However, God not only declares and demands us to be perfect, but then denounces the flesh totally. And when you become a Christian and repent, this is what you repent. You say, Lord God, I am an abominable sinner. Lord God, I, like the thief on the cross who said, he is being unjustly condemned, but we justly. Now, everybody in this room needs to say that. When you become a Christian, that is really what you're saying is, I am justly condemned. And God agrees. You're, because here's the law, be perfect, be like God, be like Jesus in all your outward action and all your inner attitudes. And then the thing is, if you just missed one little inner attitude, let's say you had every outward action perfect, but you just had a wrong inner attitude, that would do it. Now that's a hard God, isn't it? That's a hard God. But I tell you, this is good news. Because obviously this is over with, all of this, forever. Because nobody can do it. I mean, even if you have Jesus in you, you still can't do it. Even with Jesus, you can't do this. Even with Jesus, even being a Christian, there is no Christian that's perfect. Now, there is one difference between Jesus and a Christian. You are perfect only by faith. But in fact, in experience, as far as the law goes, if you were to try to keep the law, you would have no righteousness. That's why Paul warns, don't fall out of grace now and out of faith. You know, the word has come along, now we're here. We're down here. That the law, because we couldn't keep it, it drove us to Jesus. And Jesus then was able to, first of all, be a perfect example. He did keep the law. Perfect example. One. Two. And then second of all, he forgave us all of our sin. He forgave us. And third of all, now he lives in us to empower us to keep the law partially. Not wholly. You don't keep the law completely or perfectly in this life. So, the only way that you keep it and the only way that it describes you perfectly. Now, the description is partial and complete. Partially, that's my experience. I'll never get beyond that in this life. Completely, that's by faith. So, to take an example, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the declaration. Now, the denouncement is, I don't. I don't love God with all my heart. But it drives me to Jesus, who did love God with all his heart, who forgave me for not loving God with all my heart, and then who empowered me so that I could love God with all my heart, but only partially. In other words, I would partially begin to experience and feel that, but completely through the forgiveness, because he was perfect and he forgave me perfectly. So, it now describes me. love the Lord thy God. I don't. Jesus forgives me. Now I love the Lord thy God with all my heart. So it describes me. Now it's love the Lord thy God. And here it is. I do love the Lord my God with all my heart. But now that's by faith. You see, that's not by experience. No one in this room can say, I love God with all my heart all the time, inner and outer. You can't say it. It's not possible. Because to say it, you'd have to take your eyes off of your Lord. You'd have to be looking at how you're doing. And that's a sin. You can't even examine yourself because that's a sin to even look away from the Lord to figure out how good you're doing. This thing is going to be just a gift. It's just he wants your eye. The biggest sin really is the sin of unbelief and not staying your eye on Jesus. Just keep looking to Jesus. That's why Jesus does everything. He does it. And he forgives me. And he enables me and empowers me. But I've got to just keep my eyes on him. I mean, there's no reason not to, because I had my eye here on my neighbor or on my something, on the Bible or on myself or something. And that didn't help. So now, once for all, never again say to yourself, I can keep the law. The only way you can keep the law is Jesus keeps the law in you, for you, through you. But you can't keep it. So here you say, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. That's here, John 15:6. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Down here, it describes me, though. Whenever I hear the law, I can always say, that's me. Just like, Rod. Yeah, just like Rod said, I am bold. He didn't say, I'm going to try to be bold. He said, I am bold. So I can say here, I am loving the Lord my God with all my heart. That's a faith statement, though. And sometimes it's a fact. Sometimes I experience it. Sometimes. But it's not necessary to figure out when I do. I can just say that in faith. I love God with all my heart. I love my neighbor as myself. Now, that's where God wants to keep us, down here on number 4. Everything in the Bible now that's a law is now a description of your new man in Christ. Everything. Everything in the Bible that's there. When it says, don't be afraid, then your response to that is, I'm not afraid. Not, I hope I don't get afraid. So you can't do it psychologically. You're never going to find perfection there. If you said, with the help of Jesus, I won't be afraid, you would. You would just fail. You'd be back under the law again. You see, you cannot prevent yourself from being afraid. I will never have a lustful thought. You will. Well, then I'm never going to be angry again. You will. Well, then, you know, whatever you decide to do, even if outward attitude, well, I'm going to be in church every Sunday for the... You could probably do that. But you wouldn't have the right inner attitude. If you said, I will be in church every Sunday and I will love God with all my heart all that time, you won't. So even though outward behavior you could maybe do, you could never also have the inner attitude to go along with it. So when people say, well, Pastor, I do keep the law now that I'm a Christian. I've really improved a lot, and not only a lot, but I mean, I love God. I mean, there's no question about it. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. If you're talking by faith, then I understand. But usually when people say that, they're not talking by faith. They're pretending like they're better than someone else, saying, I've really arrived. Well, you haven't arrived. You don't grow anywhere. There is no growth in this. There is no growth in this. Now, you can grow in the partial, but you can't grow in the complete. You are totally in love with God if you're a Christian. From the day you become born again, you are totally happy. You are totally fearless. You are totally, you know, kind, totally good. It's all there. It's all imputed to you, even though you don't experience it until day 2 or 3 or 4, and it goes up and down. And the more you think on what God has done for you and in you, the more you'll find you're experiencing it. But don't look too long. You know, don't worry about it. You don't have to check it out much. Just, you know, when we testify, we're usually testifying about the partial. We usually get up, we don't usually speak in faith and say, I'm a new creature. You know, now we do that when we're testifying of our salvation. But usually when we get up and say, God has done this, or, you know, I've experienced that, that's usually a partial. In other words, we actually experienced what we now believe. But you could never experience all of it. There's no way. So this is the happy thing, is I don't have to look to see what Jesus has done. I take it by faith. I know that I'm a new creature by faith. I love you by faith. You love me by faith. You're happy now by faith. Never again look psychologically to figure out if you're happy. You know, most people say, are you happy? Let me think. No. Yes, now I am. You know, it really, you know, don't look psychologically because it's up and down. You know, it's like a yo-yo. It's in and out. Your happiness will never be static. Jesus was not happy all the time, psychologically. Jesus did not have always happy psychologically. Okay? It's not possible. So that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for a high, a spiritual high. Brother, you just became a Christian. Have you been spiritually happy the whole time? No. There are times when you kind of fall and you wish, what? Now, you could be, maybe, because you've just been recent, a week.
Yeah, not all the time, you know, ups and downs also.
Yeah, but pretty much you've been powerful, yeah, because he's a brand new Christian. But we all know. yeah, but that's all right. You are to keep experiencing it. There's nothing keeping you from doing that as long as you wouldn't take your eyes off. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you could continue to experience a lot of this happiness, but it will never be perfect. Even so, it will never be perfect. So anyway, we're free from the law. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to ever again look. That's what Romans 3 is all about, is don't bother to check. Just know it by faith. Let's read it again. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. David, sit down. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, you see, Paul is writing not only about the people outside the non-Christian world, Jew and Gentile, but he's also saying Christians, if they look beyond faith, there's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. I can say that's still true. This law still applies to my old man. The law still applies to my old man. It describes what God wants, and my old man every time consistently misses the mark. My old man has never yet cleaned up its act. My old man has never yet done righteously. Do you know that my old man is so bad that he's never not sinned? I mean, he has sinned from the beginning, and he still do. I've become a Christian even. And my old man doesn't, you know, he doesn't appreciate the fact that I've become a Christian. He has never yet cooperated. He has never yet, you know, had one kind thing, you know. He's faked it, you know, but he has never really done anything but sin. So the old man stays under the law because that's what the law is for, him. And he's condemned, and I say, even though I experience him, he's dead. I say he's dead. I reckon myself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ. So now whenever you read the law in the Bible as a Christian, you do not read it this way, except if you want to apply it to your flesh. Because this is who you are. You've been driven to Jesus. You've turned to Jesus. You have faith in Jesus. And he has done a great thing. So now the law describes me. That's the greatest thing about the law. Whenever I read a law in the Bible, it says, be diligent. I know, let's say, when I read, okay, let's say be diligent, because that's for a Christian. Be diligent. Now, first of all, I read that in my total self, my new self, by faith, and I say, I am diligent. But I know that doesn't describe my behavior. So then I say, but I'm not so diligent yet because I still must have a lot of flesh in me, in my behavior. So I run through the four steps now. This is good for my experience. Because if I build up my new man, here I am. I am diligent. Now I'm building up my new man. I am diligent. I am diligent. I really am diligent. I'm well organized. I'm always on time. You know, whatever the thing is, that's obviously not describing my behavior. You see? But I have to build up my new man first, according to the Bible. Then I will see the difference between who I am and how I'm doing. How I'm doing, because I notice that my old man still is hanging around. It's not me, because I am diligent. But I notice my old man, he's not so diligent. You know? And so the old man tries to get a little bit in there. So there's a war set up between my flesh and my spirit. And now that I've built up my new man, I put to death my old man. First of all, I have to see it. So the law declares, be diligent. Then it denounces my flesh, say, you're still not diligent. Now he's talking about my flesh. But he drives me to Jesus. And as I come into the light, my lack of diligence is exposed. Jesus forgives me for that. And then he empowers me and says, you can be diligent. And I can then say the scripture in Philippians, I can do all things. I can be on time. I can be diligent. You see? Now, I told you that that will never be perfected. While we're in this life, we are continually being renewed, but you will never perfect that. You may in one area, but not in all areas. And you may in one area today, but then tomorrow you go back again and so on. So this should give you great freedom in the Lord, as don't put unrealistic demands on yourself. Build up your new man, put to death the old man. How do you put him to death? Very simple. All you do is do this. You declare what you should be. I should be perfect. Usually the laws that we have set up are our own laws, which say, I'm doing the best I can, like we did before. You know, somewhere in here, you say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly doing better than so-and-so, or I'm better than I was last week. That doesn't count for anything. The law says, be perfect. You know, see, I would usually excuse myself and say, well, I'm not diligent, but, you know, have you seen my mother? You know, and you would understand why I'm not diligent, because, you know, I come from a family that really lacks diligence, so you can hardly blame me. In fact, I have improved a great deal. My sister, for example, you know, and you go on, but you see, that has nothing to do with the law. That is why you'll never grow, because you have your eyes on the wrong law. God's law always says one thing, be perfect. I'll accept nothing else but absolute perfection. That's a high, heavy thing. But not if I know that that's directed against my flesh and it drives me to Jesus. And if I know that that won't condemn me because I've already been saved in Jesus Christ. That's what gives me the freedom now to go back and deal with my flesh. And say, flesh, you know, why are you still legislating in my life? You're dead. How come you still look alive, feel alive, act alive, talk alive? Something's wrong here. So I build myself up in the new man and say, I am diligent. Now you can do this with every scripture. Be prayerful. You know, instead of feeling guilty about it, instead of justifying why you haven't prayed lately, instead of feeling bad about it, instead of trying to pray more and getting up an hour earlier or something like that, or setting your alarm, don't do that. Just say, I am prayerful. I'm a prayerful person. Well, the first thing that will happen is there'll be a little war set up in your head. You, a prayerful person? You know, and just, you know, if you say it in front of your husband or wife, they'll say it. You, a prayerful person. I'm a prayerful person. And you may have to declare that for a long time without doing anything before that really sinks in. Do you realize you are a prayerful person? Do you realize you're a tither? Do you realize that you are in love with the other brothers and sisters? Do you realize you're not a critical person? Do you realize that this description is really you? All the things that Jesus is, that's who you are. Now that takes some doing. I tell you, it takes a lifetime to get this down. But because the enemy will try to sneak in there and steal away. Because he's a stealer, a thief. He tries to... So you can just go through any scripture. And let's look at some here. Therefore, the deeds of the law... Well, let's see. This is all... it'd be hard to do it here. But... Well, okay. We could do it anyway. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law. You see, the righteousness of God, which is without the law, is manifested by the law. That means that the law itself tells you about another righteousness. The law says, this is the way to be righteous. Be perfect. And the law says, by the way, you're not and never will be. That's what the law says. But then the law also says, so there is a provision. What's that provision? There's another kind of righteousness I didn't tell you about. Moses says, God's going to raise up another prophet. Listen to him. That's Moses talking. Moses said, do the law. And if you don't, you die. But that wasn't good news. That's what the Jews have been under for thousands of years. So the law itself told about another righteousness, that kind which comes from Jesus through faith. All you have to do there is believe. You don't do a thing. So it doesn't matter how much a person does or doesn't does. It all comes through faith. You're saved by one thing, faith. You can be a rebel. You can be the worst scoundrel on the earth. I don't care if you've ever thought of prayer, if you've ever had one kind thought. You see, people constantly think, I never feel kind. I don't feel kind thoughts a lot. Then another person will think, you know, I have a lot of kind thoughts. That is all nonsense. The first guy was wrong and the second guy was wrong. The first guy had just as many kind thoughts as the other guy, and the second guy didn't have any kind thoughts. You know, it was all fakery. That's hard to believe, but it's true. So God has set us free completely from the law. Now this is who you are. Build yourself up. Then God will expose your flesh, which still tries to take over, drive you to Jesus who forgives you, and empower you through the Lord Jesus to keep the law. Now I can do all things, but I do it in this curious way. So the law helps me now. The law has become a friend rather than an enemy. The law at one time was an enemy. It's still the eternal law of God. But now it's a friend to describe my new man in Christ, or what Jesus is doing in me day by day, little by little. What he's done perfectly in me to keep the law perfectly, and now it's showing up day by day as I fellowship with him. Cindy, you had a question. Praise the Lord.
But it was when you were talking about what the law declares and announces, and this was the scripture. It's in Isaiah 57. It says, you were wearied by all your ways, but you would not say, it's hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, so you didn't completely faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you've been false to me and have neither remembered me nor pondered this in your hearts? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But the man who makes me his refuge will come to inherit the land, and he will possess my holy mountain.
It's beautiful. Especially that first line about hopeless. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we are that man. We are that man who trusts in the Lord. Don't ever let the devil take that away from you. No one can ever have that. You are a beautiful people. You are precious. You are perfect in God's sight. Let no one take that away. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we do thank you tonight as we come to your table, that we come as friends. Once we were enemies. Once we were as enemy as you could get. But now we are absolutely as friend as we can get. We are beloved of God. Father God, all of us equally, all have sinned and fallen short of the God. All are equally condemned. But all of us have been equally exalted. All of us. And we thank you, Lord God, that no one can take away that standing that we have in the kingdom of God, that proper place at your table. And now as we come to your table as a foretaste, we do so honoring you by having faith. We do so honoring you by coming with joy, by remembering our status and not shrinking back, by coming forward boldly and saying, I belong at the table of God. I am a son, a daughter of the King. I am royal. I am priest. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us this exalted place. We humble ourselves tonight to be exalted, and we accept the high place that you've chosen for us. We shall be healed, saved, filled, prospered, defended, all those privileges and rights that come to the children of God, because that's who we are. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.